I got no sound. Okay. I got reverberation.
Okay. Well, we're on though. Do the introduction.
I got nothing.
I can hear you.
Hello, this is Kathy Hart, host of the Health First Radio Show. Today we have some great guests on for you. In the first half, we've got Rosemary Pierce, and she's going to be talking about how to eat from a whole rainbow of colors in your diet. And in the second half, we have Crystal Kennedy, and she'll be a wealth of information on native spirituality. But first, here's Alan with the Health First News.
Where fear of skin cancer has little effect, vanity may succeed. In a new study, sun worshippers who were shown computer images of how their face would age after years of ultraviolet light exposure often decided to quit the tanning habit. In fact, said study author Aaron Blasshill, a single 10-minute exposure to one's own face, digitally aged, with and without excessive UV exposure, reduced indoor and outdoor tanning behaviors over the next month. He is an assistant professor in the San Diego Joint Doctoral Program in Clinical Psychology at San Diego State University/University of California. The new study included just over 200 college students. The findings were published in the June issue of the journal Body Image. A close examination of baby teeth is giving new insight into the roots of autism and ways to spot it early. The research suggests that the way infants metabolize two nutrients, zinc and copper, may predict who will develop the condition. One of the study's lead authors, Paul Curtin, said we have identified cycles in nutrient metabolism that are apparently critical to healthy neurodevelopment and are dysregulated in autism spectrum disorder. He's assistant professor of environmental medicine at the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai in New York City. For the study, Curtin and his colleagues used baby teeth to reconstruct fetal and infant exposures to nutrient and toxic elements in both children with autism and those without the disorder. The report was published online May 30th in the journal Scientific Advances. Can an artificially sweetened drink or food really satisfy your sweet tooth without raising your blood sugar levels? That depends on what's in the food or drink, but a new review confirms that artificial sweeteners alone won't cause a spike in blood sugar. Study co-author Maxwell Hall said it's been widely accepted that non-nutritive sweeteners don't raise blood sugar, but there's never been a large-scale study to confirm that. He's a PhD candidate in the Department of Food Science and Human Nutrition at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. Plus, he said, many past studies have only looked at the effects of artificial sweeteners when consumed with other foods. The study was published recently in the European Journal of Clinical Nutrition. Men and women who survive thyroid cancer have a sharply increased risk for heart disease, a new study finds. And researchers say males and overweight survivors are particularly at risk. Co-author Mia Hashib, a researcher at the Huntsman Cancer Institute in Salt Lake City, said our study found that male thyroid cancer survivors have an almost 50% higher risk of developing cardiovascular disease than women, while thyroid cancer survivors with obesity have a 41% higher risk. In addition, low levels of thyroid-stimulating hormone were linked with a 25% greater risk of heart disease. The report was published May 29th in the Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism.
Rosemary Pierce began her interest in natural medicine during her university studies in pharmacy in Dalhousie University. Her enthusiasm for phytopharmacy, nutrition, and the use of vitamins and minerals to support the healing of the human body defined her early pharmacy career. This development into more diverse interests once she began having her children, which were born in the 80s, she became just a wealth of information on healing for families. We now have Rosemary Pierce, and we're going to talk about the benefits and the art of eating really well with superfoods, with every color of the rainbow going into our diet. So welcome, Rosemary.
Well, thank you. Good to be with you again, Kathy.
Yeah, nice to have you back. What can we do to increase the superfoods in our system? And what are superfoods?
Well, the superfoods are the foods that are nutrient dense. So no empty calories is sort of, and really we're not looking in this case so much at our macronutrients, such as the proteins and carbohydrates and fats. We're looking at the phytonutrients, or those wonderful plant, natural plant chemicals that are found in a variety of our foods. And in certain foods, they're much more dense. But not only do we need the dense colors, we need the variety of colors. We need the colors of the rainbow. That's what our mothers always told us, eat from the rainbow. Mm-hmm. And there's a good reason for that. And they started discovering, and I have to say, the turn of the century, around 1999, they started to discover, actually the work came out of Tufts University, the Human Nutrition Research Center for Aging. Now, that should tell us something for aging. They discovered, and it was one of the fellows I followed from that time was Dr. James Joseph. And his main work was, he did groundbreaking work. Nobody knew the value of blueberries at that time, and except for we love to eat them, right? Mm-hmm. And they're, you know, tasty in pies, et cetera. But he proved that eating the equivalent of a half a cup of blueberries a day on a human scale would actually make these rats that were running through mazes, it would make the 50-year-olds run through mazes as if they were 21 again.
21?
Now which 50-year-old wouldn't want to be back to their energy and their body fitness of their 20s, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was huge. That started a whole revolution on, wow, we need these valuable phytonutrients that provide antioxidants. They also are anti-inflammatory. They are anti-disease, basically. And up until that time, it was like 5 cups of fruits and vegetables. That was common. And then all of a sudden, they realized, yeah, 5 might kind of make you survive, but to really thrive, we need more like 10 or more.
Now, Rosemary, think 10 cups of fruits and vegetables going into us every day, that takes a lot of chewing and time and effort.
Exactly. And that's how superfoods came about. Mm-hmm. Superfood powders, where we're actually powders or different foods that are fortified with these phytonutrients that we find in the colors of our fruits and vegetables. So we started looking at how can we up the amount. Mm-hmm. The average North American, or more than 50%, don't get 5 servings. So imagine trying to bring them to the total of 10 or more. And so these superfoods are concentrated, dense foods. Some of them come from the ocean, like chlorella and spirulina. Some of them come from the land. In the green varieties, they would be our young grasses that have been cut and dehydrated. So barley grass, wheat grass, alfalfa grass. Matter of fact, one grass that I love is called prairie grasses. And we're kind of just on the border of the prairie, you and I.
Mm-hmm.
And these grasses are grown in Canada, a little further on the other side of the prairie, actually. But usually in the prairie or in Ontario, grasses grow just like 2 feet tall before they hit their second knot. Mm-hmm. They're a beautiful plant, and then they're taken very quickly and compacted and dehydrated, and then put into a fermentation process. Now, that's the real key to grasses, mm-hmm. to these grasses. Remember, these are gluten-free. They contain no gluten, even though they're wheatgrass and barley grass. These grasses, once they're fermented, and they're fermented similarly to how you would take milk and make yogurt,
mm-hmm.
same type of bacteria, and then after that, they're dehydrated. And so now we have all the benefits of pre-digestion of the minerals and the vitamins being made more bioavailable, easier for our body, and we've got the whole young plant. So that's another form of superfood in the green family. And then, of course, We've got the yellow, and one of the great things in the yellow would be lemon. And, of course, I think you're quite aware that I love lemons. Matter of fact, I'm one of my key products that I love working with is Morning Rise and Shine, which is based on lemon and then aloe vera, but it has the juice of half a lemon. Many people, when I would give them the recipe for how to make this drink, would go, do you think I have time for that in the morning? That's another great quality about superfoods. Mm-hmm. So easy. You can put them in a drink. You can mix a lot of them together. Sometimes it's even better if you know, if you're taking, say, your red superfoods, maybe a beet powder or a red, especially organic red combo that's high in beets. You can also mix one with lemons in it or greens.
Could I take too much vegetables? What would happen?
In the form of superfoods or in the form of vegetables?
In superfoods.
Okay. Well, just to answer that question, if it was vegetables, like, say, something like carrots, mm-hmm. you can actually get too much beta-carotene and not particularly harmful, but it would turn you slightly orange. Mm-hmm. So that does happen. On the superfood end, Health Canada actually has a category for that in under their natural products, and they call it the antioxidant powder category. And, well, it's not quite that, but that's what it is. And basically they say 10 grams.
Okay, so that's quite a lot. Two teaspoons?
10 grams would be 2 teaspoons or more, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, you could get a lot of nutrient-dense foods, and that's in a day. And again, that is just a guideline for any particular one product. So I use that guideline when somebody says, "Well, how much spirulina should I take?" Well, if you're taking powder, usually a teaspoon might be 5 grams,
mm-hmm.
and so your daily dose would be working up to between 1 and 2 teaspoons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you know, when you're looking at powders that have been hydrated or concentrated somewhat and mm-hmm. formed into a healthy powder, say pomegranate and blueberry and a number of the red superfoods, that would be quite similar to the way we would eat. So
okay.
It's not as if you're taking an extract as mm-hmm. much as concentrated and dehydrated.
When we go back to the green part, you mentioned the ocean ones, spirulina and chlorella, and then you've got the prairie grasses, wheatgrass, alfalfa, and oats. Are they going to give you two different sources of greens as well? Like, should you use them together?
Yes, you can use the prairie grasses together, absolutely.
Okay.
Yes. They all have similar properties, not exactly the same. And also with spirulina and chlorella, those two have slightly different properties because one, chlorella is our highest source of chlorophyll in any superfood that we can get.
Mm-hmm.
And then spirulina is half chlorophyll and half another pigment that's blue. That's why it's called a blue-green algae.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't only get your blues from blueberry powders and blueberry concentrates, but you can get them from spirulina as well. And that makes spirulina excellent as a detox for the liver. Great liver support.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's pretty well a whole food too, isn't it?
Yes. It does. It actually does have protein in it as well.
And iron, B12, like the full gamut. Amazing.
Yes.
Rosemary, we're going to have to go to a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the beautiful rainbow color of foods.